Hey, welcome everyone to another video podcast session here at High Level. We call them the High Level Spotlight Sessions, and I bring in the top-notch players in the world of business and marketing, and we learn from them. And today I have Daniel Nguyen. Daniel, I've met Daniel maybe a couple of years ago as he was in the early days of starting out his online component of his brick and mortar business, if I remember correctly. He was a small business owner in the nail salon industry, and GHL was originally built from his own salon and managed into multiple locations, almost like a franchise model. And then he turned that into a full-scale SaaS agency, I think in less than 3 years. And it's quite interesting seeing someone take the journey and where you have landed. It's incredible. You guys are almost two brands, I believe, close to 260 plus SaaS customers. And I mean, it's been quite the journey. Help me understand your story. Tell the audience about how you got started. How did you find us? Tell us a little bit about this journey over the last couple of years, man.
Hey guys, thank you, Paulson, for doing the interview here. So my journey started in the early days. I believe it was right after COVID, and I don't remember exactly the month, but I know that SaaS launch just came out. And then I was using High Level a year ahead already. So I think this is like early 2020. I just remember the Facebook group were like under 8,000 people. I don't know, now it's like...
That's insane.
Yeah, and I was already using High Level as a CRM for my own salon, because I realized that as a business owner, we don't have transparency in the business when we're not in the salon, right? And I was looking for a solution to kind of like nurture my customer, right? To become a repeat customer, and also turning those customers into raving fans. So I was researching and I came across High Level. So original plan was a platform for me to use between my four locations that I have, and also for my employee to kind of go between locations and work with each other. And who knows, you know, I did not expect me to be as a SaaS agency owner now, managing, you know, hundreds of other locations, and have a great time doing it.
You know what's crazy to me, Daniel, is that I remember when you had initially jumped on with High Level, I remember you coming into some of our challenges and workshops and programs, and we used to do these like open format Zooms back in the day, office hours or something we called it. And I remember you jumping into the Q&As and asking and inquiring in the early stages of trying to figure this out. And I remember then later on, you ended up getting into a ton of mentorships and programs to really understand the SaaS business model. But what made you want to become a SaaSpreneur? That to me is pretty interesting, because you already had a successful business and you're already like scaling. I remember you're like, man, I got four locations. I want to get to 20 locations. I remember those conversations a couple of years ago. And then, but what made you want to go into becoming a SaaSpreneur?
I think the idea was, I did not have this idea. The idea was from, you know, High Level launching SaaS launch, and I did not know what SaaS is. Like, I did not know anything about the world of SaaS, right? Software as a service, no clue what it is. And when SaaS launch came out, you guys are educating, yeah. You have workshop. I came through it, and then you know, a couple mentor came on and teach about the SaaS model, how great about the disconnected revenue and all that fun stuff. And it really made me realize that this is what I really want, a disconnected revenue stream that I can set up and build, and I can be kind of hands off, because running a brick and mortar is really, really hands on. And it takes a lot of time from my personal, my family, and a lot of effort, right? And I just feel that for the same effort that I'm putting into the business, I could build a sustainable SaaS career that have a significant exit, like multiples, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I think is amazing is, well, first of all, congrats on winning the Gold Award, the Sasspreneur Award, which is what you get after you went past the 100 mark. And now you guys are on the way to potentially getting the Platinum Award as well, maybe later this year. But, you know, I remember, you know, just planning this whole conversation out with you in the podcast earlier, and we talked about figuring out a good discussion between us that's going to be valuable for all the podcast listeners. So the topic that we want to cover today is learning from the pivots and the churn while scaling to 260 plus SaaS customers that Daniel went through. And in addition to that, the three talking points that we want to make sure we want to, you know, at least discuss is one, he redesigned the offer multiple times. So we're going to talk about the offer redesign in the beginning stages. Number two is the onboarding and ongoing support and some of the mistakes and the clarity that you had there. And I know you have new technology and ClickUp and all these project management tools there that's helping you. So we want to talk about that. And lastly, we want to talk about sales and prospecting, obviously, in order to scale from, you know, past that 100, but, you know, going in further to like close to 300 plus clients. So Daniel, what are the things that you've learned from pivots and churn while scaling to 260 plus SaaS customers?
I think as any agency owner listening and you're scaling your agency, your SaaS model, you're going to deal with churn, right? And I think churn is the biggest topic that affects how the customer is feeling about your product and services, right? If they're happy, they will stay. And if they're not happy, they will leave. And I had to learn the hard way because I just thought that, hey, if I can be, scale my ad, I can get more leads, I can book more demos, and I can close more deals. And I'm just gonna have a massive company, right?
Yeah, like a
Who cares
sales.
what?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case, right? I had there was a month that I was losing up to 30% of every my entire customer database. If I brought in, 100 customer, I was losing, like 30, 40 people every single month. That means if I'm losing 30%, that means in 3 months I have zero customer.
Correct.
Yeah. So my pivot there was introducing a setup fee. And also all of these are not I didn't come up with this. These are things that I read in many books about SaaS, about churn. Crossing the chasm is really good, one of them. And just speaking to people who are in the SaaS industry that had experience scaling SaaS, company, and talk to them about churn. So after figuring out, trying to put the fire out, I would say like 2, 3 months into it, we implemented a setup fee. At the beginning, I don't have a setup fee. I'm trying to sell this thing fast, right? We made it really accessible, just $400, $500 a month, month to month, no contract, which is.
So before you go into the details, help me understand what was the very first offer you had to begin with, and then let's talk about the redesigning of the offers that you did. That's our first pillar of conversation, redesigning the offer in the beginning stages. So tell me what your very first offer was, and then tell me about the changes you made, including the setup fee, so we have a good full context of the evolving.
Sorry about that. So
All good, all good.
the very first offer was the offer that I use in my own brick and mortar business, which is reputation management. I got really good at that. My salon have I would say above 800 reviews on Google, and they're all ranking very well. They have a very robust website, very quick, have chat widgets. So I just took what I did for my own business and I craft an offer around it, which has like local SEO, Google Business Profile ranking, review management, call tracking,
Probably mobile
chat
app.
widgets, all the feature that high levels give us to sell. So I sold all of that. And at the beginning, my price was really cheap. I was just selling for like $197, no setup fee. I spent a year doing that, and I think I got to like 30 customer in 1 year. And guys, like, I was running my fourth salon at the same time, so this
Yeah,
is like
you're not actively
a side hustle. I know, like,
when you got to the first 30 customers in that first year, that's while you were riding two boats at the same time. You had your own regular brick and mortar business that you're maintaining.
Yes. So it was very difficult for me to focus on this. And honestly, this was a side hustle thing. It was not my intentions. Not my focus. I just did it because it was fun and I'm already doing it for my own salon. So that was my original offer. First year, 30 customer. I did not run any ad. This was just the people I know locally and friends and family. And I offer some even free, like free service, right? Just let me work on the location. Let me, you know, iron out the onboarding process, figuring out the ongoing support, figuring out the workflow of the marketing services that we're selling. And of course, it wasn't perfect, right?
Yeah.
I think on the second year, we decided to pretty much put it all together and start running some Facebook ad. I think that is probably the easiest way and the quickest way to test the market to see if your offer is resonating with your target market, right?
Yeah.
And the funny story there was I didn't focus on nail salon. I was doing, my goodness, all kinds of industry, all
yeah.
verticals. I had plumbers, I had chiropractors, I had roofer, towing company. And I thought that, hey, I could sell this into everybody, right? And I think that was the biggest mistake that I made personally. And I'm sure there's a couple of people here that kind of came through the same, I would say, journey, right?
Sure.
And I realized after 6 months of running the offer to everybody, we had, I think, like 60, 70 customer with about 25 different industry. And it was a nightmare because when the customer call in, our team didn't know how to speak to them. Like, is their customer patients? Are they like dogs or cats? Are they, you know, restaurant customers or salons? It was a mess. And of course, they all left me, right? Everybody left and went on to their, I don't know where else they go. So I kind of regrouped, and this is like a year and a half into it. And I just regroup, and me and my partner decide, hey, let's just go back to the nail salon industry, the beauty salon industry, because, you know, to be frank, I know you don't like it, but it makes the most sense because you know it so well.
Yeah.
So that's where I pivot into, okay, let's just pick the beauty salon. And we started a new set of Facebook ad campaign launching to beauty salon owners. And that really blew up. That really went crazy.
Almost viral. Yeah.
The ad that I did, I was in the salon and I was actually at my new salon. And I just did a quick reel walking around the salon and just showing them, hey, this is where I got in, 12 months of running this system. And it gave me the financial and the freedom to open as many salons as I want. And just click below to find out more. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And that really took off. Yeah.
I love that. So your initial stage, you're going on a $197 range. You cater to multiple industries while maintaining your brick and mortar location. And then, you know, you're not speaking to the love language of every industry. They're coming in, they have different needs, and your team is not able to meet the exact criteria. So they churn out, and then you pivot finally into a narrowed lane, which is the salon space that you knew pretty well. And then you started doing Facebook ads. And when did you decide to redesign the offers from then? Once you went into the beauty salon space, when did you start doing setup fees? When did you start going up on the price or lower on the price? Like, help us understand, I guess, the third iteration of your offer.
Yeah, so we decided to come up with two packages. One was just a $297 basic package, and then the other one was $497, which has all the marketing bells and whistle. I would say the setup fee and the annual contract comes at the very end, because at the beginning I just wanted to sell fast, right? The faster I sell, is the more revenue we generated.
Yeah.
So it was, I would say, and also we didn't have enough people to onboard as well. My onboarding time was like 10 days out. I know it was like, it should be next day, but I was busy and we couldn't onboard. It was 10 days
enough
out.
Enough volume. So your sales is, you're doing a lot of sales and not enough account management to keep up that balance. So then people are waiting and have to be essentially resold.
Yes, yes. And then we had to deal with, so that's another thing. Like I had to hire more people, train them at the same time, ramp them up so they can do onboarding for me. And when the onboarding is another whole thing about onboarding, people no-show you. They don't come to the onboarding call, right? I got to chase them around. And it was this whole thing about onboarding because I had a really lengthy onboarding. I made it too complicated. I was asking too many questions, too many things. And so anyway, I decided to make it really simple, super short onboarding form, and the rest of other stuff we request from them later on. But at least they got into our ecosystem and start kind of messing around with it at the beginning. So I kind of reduced the onboarding time to, I would say, 30 minutes, very short, more like a welcome call, not really crazy technical. It was just a welcome call, introduce the new customer to the account manager so that they know how to get help, where to get help, and who to contact when things kind of doesn't work. And that really increased the customer satisfaction. They like that more. And to be frank, a lot of time when I have the long onboarding call, people just disconnect. They had to go and, you know, they're a business owner. So things happen at the salon or at the restaurant or whatever, and they had to go. So we had to end up rescheduling that. And but so we decided, okay, we're gonna make two onboarding calls. The first one is just a welcome call. That's it. Just welcome, break the ice, you know, introduce them to the world, the coaching call, the hours, how to get help. And then we scheduled the second onboarding call on about 2 weeks out. We had the second onboarding call to wrap up everything else that we need to do, so that they're not overwhelmed. Because I know, I think the first time that the customer log into High Level for the first time, like they lost it. They just lost it, right? So I don't tell them to log in anymore. This onboarding call have no dashboard login screen. It was just a slide deck with a few screenshots. But they're not logging in anymore, because that's where I lose them, right? But it was really interesting experience to see how the customer attention, like how long are they paying attention to your onboarding call, and when do they drop off? So like we customize and we refine the onboarding process based on where they kind of doze out. You know, we just make small minor changes along the way, week by week, to see, until we see that the customer are happy and they are able to understand and really take in everything we give them. Because I'm sure you hear this a lot too. After the customer finished the onboarding, and then they call back a week later asking the question that we went over. And then we tell them, hey, we went over this. And they told me, well, I don't remember. Right? I don't remember that. So it was like just redundant work for our team, just keep going back and forth with the customer, because we shoved too much information into the first call. So simplicity is something that I had to learn and do and tone it down week by week to really got to the process where the customer are able to retain all the information we give them and also are using the app. The primary goal is for them to download the app and start to use the app. So the onboarding thing was really interesting. That took many, many months for us to kind of refine, to make it near, not, I would say perfect, but pretty close to satisfactory, right?
Yeah. So help me understand the book of business when you're finding these things around onboarding and ongoing support. Are you at the 100 client mark by then, by the time you're figuring out the onboarding, preferences and differences from the clients? Like, what stage of the business of launching or scaling were you at that point?
Yes. So I believe this is after getting past 100 customer. Getting to 100 with the Facebook ad was extremely quick. I think it took me 3 months focusing.
So within 3 months, you got to 100 plus customers with Facebook ads.
Yes. I did that within like 3 months. Wow. After 3 months, we were gaining about 25 to 30 customer per month, about one a day. And that's where things kind of broke, because I had a really small team, and I think this is where planning comes ahead. I'm not a good planner, so I just ride it until the wheels fall off. That kind of and it broke, right? The system broke. Customer were pissed off because they had to wait 10 days to onboard. Some or even 2 weeks. 10 days, 2 weeks to onboard. And communications, they couldn't talk to us. We could, which is a nightmare of communication. We're hard to reach because we're a small team. I didn't have the training SOP and processes. So for example, if there's a new employee comes in, the active employee have to be offline to train the new person. Like, they can't do customer service and train. Like, that was the thing. Like, we're even short staffed, and then we brought in a person, and after like 3-4 weeks, that new employee was confused. It was even more confused than ever, because high level is a big thing. You log into. Why? I still remember the first. Yeah. I still remember the first time I log in high level, and I remember like I was thinking to myself, what in the world is this? It's crazy, right? So. Like, for us, I had no SOP. I had no project management tool. Didn't know what that was. And I spent the next like 6 to 8 months just fixing, just like gaining 30 customer and then losing 30, gaining 30, losing 30. So like 6 months later, I was still 110 customer. Like, I didn't grow anywhere, right?
Wow. Yeah.
But we figured out project management tool. We got ClickUp. ClickUp was a whole nother chapter. Like, that was a whole nother thing. Like, anybody use ClickUp and you log in the first time, you know what I'm talking about. It's insane. It's super complicated. Figure out how to use that, build our own workflow system for our company, train our staff up to speed, and along the way, writing SOP. I don't know what coach told me this, but he said, just write down what you do every single day and just record a Loom. And have a Google Doc. So we spent 6 months just doing that, just creating the infrastructure, the foundation of training and ramping up of a new employee so that they can work efficiently, right? Yeah. And also measuring the time that it takes to do the task management, right? And did all these things at the end of 6 months, I feel like, man, we didn't do much. We still are the same customer size. But we have a few new staff, and we have a better process to train. We're able to take a brand new VA comes in and go through our course. And at the end of the course, they're pretty sufficient in terms of how to deal with customers, tickets, support tickets, how to do, local SEO task. And so things are looking good after 6 months. Things are looking good.
The foundation edge, essentially. And that's after you're already past the 100 client mark.
Yes, I got to 100 on a whim, right? I mean, it's easy to sell. I mean, so for those out there struggling with sales, that should be your least worry. Because sales is easy. There's always people buying things every day. If you just keep offering and you're being consistent with your offer, people are just going to buy, okay? Not what you're going to buy from someone else. So people just out there buying software or marketing services. So sales are actually the easiest part. I thought it was the hardest part when I first started, and I'm super scared to start doing sales. But you know, now sales is my least worry. My biggest priority now is team management, how to hire and fire and how to train them at speed, right?
While building the existing book of business. I think that's the key part that most people don't pay attention to. It's not that you just bring somebody in. You got to maintain the speed of the boat while they're learning how to swim.
Yes, yes. And also making sure that the company are growing according every quarter. We have to hit KPI. And also, I just remember one thing that I didn't think of is the operation system within the company. So we had a sloppy meetings. Oh my God, the meeting was 3 hours long and we didn't get nothing done. Right? It was so unproductive to run a, it was about 15 people team, right? Super small, right? So just 15 people, you know, we didn't have managers, which is all over the place. I didn't know my role. I was doing other stuff. And basically, we were just spinning around on a boat. That's all it is, just spinning around. It looks like we're busy. We're like rowing really hard, but we're just staying in one spot, right? So I had to learn some sort of entrepreneur operating system. And that brought me to the book of Rocket Fuel, Tractions, the EOS world, right? That's a whole nother world I had to discover. I just unboxed.
Yeah, first you come across like sales books and entrepreneurship, and then you learn books around processes and scaling. And I think that's when the entrepreneur actually arrives.
Oh yeah, we totally, you're right. I totally skipped the part where I had to get sales coaching, do sales processes, sales script, follow-up script, all the sales stuff that sales team do, right? And also learn how to hire salespeople, fire salespeople, and manage a sales team, and also hiring a sales manager. That we just skip that whole thing.
Yeah, the 1 year of developing the whole sales side of it, we just look over it because it becomes second nature almost with every business. So here's what I'm understanding on the pivots and churn, the things that you learn from the churn. First, you redesigned your offer to match the market the right way multiple times, and you finally got it right. Then the second big problem you come across is the onboarding and the ongoing support with systems and processes while hiring and firing and maintaining the excitement of the business. Now, the third thing that I want you to kind of address is obviously the sales and prospecting in order to go from the 100 client range to like 260 or 300 on the way that you're doing now. So like, what changed about the old sales component versus the new way of doing sales? Like, I know you found the balance of the right amount of, you know, how to open the door and let the right amount of volume in, right? But how did you get to that world to help us understand that?
Yeah, I think the understanding, when I was doing sales training, I skipped the whole prospecting, targeting, avatar thing. I just skipped through it. And I went to sell. I was selling to all kinds of beauty salon owners, okay? It was good for the first few months, but they're not my target. They're not my perfect audience. They were churning. I had booth renters in my pipeline that are not a good fit. I had salons doing with like 2-3 employees doing like, you know, 10-12,000 a month. That was not a good fit. They churned right away. And I had to go back to just like see who's having the most success in my customer pool, right? Within the 100 something people. And then look at people who left and look at people who stay, right?
You started studying your own client book of business and figuring out their behavior essentially.
Yes, yes. So I was talking to my customer, my favorite customer, and people who've been around the whole year. I asked them, hey, how come you didn't leave? Like, what is it? how did we impact your business that you stuck around all this time? I understand sometimes you call in and it took me 5 days to get back to you. Right? Why didn't you leave? You know? So after doing my own, I think it's called Net Promoter Score, right? NPL what do you call it? Net Promoter Score? Is that right?
Yeah, NPS. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I did that and I got the score back. And I was shocked. I said, wow, I'm so naive. I thought everybody was happy, right? And I thought that my product was so good that it fits everybody. But no. So we narrowed down to people to only serve the people who are doing $500,000 a year or more. And that really shifted everything. And the next, 100 customer was nearly at ease because we knew exactly who we're calling and who we're talking to and who I'm speaking to. Because now my ad, it literally says, hey, salon owners, if you're making $500,000 a year and you're stuck, and you're trying to get to $1 million a year, right? That's my pitch. So that's what I did. My salon was doing $500,000 a year. And after implementing a few changes of the SaaS model, we did, like 1.2 the next 12 months. And that was my ad. And that attracted all of the salons are in my zone, that little perfect circle. And of course, with a strong offer like that, people were buying and they're investing because they can see that if I could do it, they're very hopeful that I can help them, right? That was another, I would say, competitive edge between my agency versus other agency in the salon business, because other salon, they don't understand how the business owner is thinking.
Yeah, they're just not matured in their journey just yet.
Yes, I'll give you a really good example. I saw one ad targeting nail salon owners not too long ago and he says on the ad, this is why, guys, you got to do market research really, really well. He says, hey, guys, I got this awesome SaaS thing. It's a marketing SaaS. I already know it's high level, right? I can get you 30 customer in next 30 days. And I was like, bro, my salon have 1,000 inbound phone calls a month from Google. 30 customer. What's that? $50 per person? Like, you're going to get me $1,500 per month? That's not going to pay bills, right? So that's just the, right? If he did his research, he would know 30 customer at a restaurant or at a salon, it's not even enough to pay the utility bills, right? Maybe it is for a mortgage broker. If they got 30 customer for a loan, of course, right? But for a local services, it's high volume, low ticket. So if he knew about the high volume, low ticket, he would say, I can get you 300 customer in 30 days. And that makes more sense, right? So for me, it was supernatural, super easy, which is me sharing my experience in my salon. And I was just sharing that with people. And that was how I got the next 100 customer really painfully.
So on that note, so you essentially changed. Well, let me just rephrase. You pivoted your customer avatar from any salon owner to essentially an affluent, more matured owner. That's kind of what happened, right? So did your onboarding and ongoing support experience change for that crowd as well? Or is it just the sales process that changed?
Yes, that's a really good point you brought up. Because before, and I also measured the amount of ticket we're getting, right? At the beginning, all these small salon owners, booth renters, nothing that against them, it was just that they were asking all kinds of questions. They were calling. They were it takes so much time for us to support them. But when these new customer pool comes in, $500,000 a year, trying to get to $1 million, they don't ask as much. They pay on time. they carp don't decline, you know, like they have money, you know, and they're very coachable. Like they're willing to learn, yeah, willing to be coachable.
It's just willing maturity. It's just yes, the entrepreneur maturity that you see with people that are, you know, just 2-3 years into the business is all the maturity you need to feel like the difference of a brand new person versus someone that's kind of seasonal. And I bet you, the culture probably changed inside your business among your team members. Can you speak on that? Like they probably liked dealing with the more affluent crowd.
Yes, yes. Not only that, these new customers are much nicer, much easier to deal with, and they ask better questions. You know, I think like any agency owners, they go through this whole journey, right?
They do. They do. Every business, actually.
Yeah, right. So I feel like the more narrow you kind of focus over time, right, the more money you make. That's how it really ends up, right? So for us internally on our team, it was super, I would say we're better performers. People were not quitting anymore. And also by this time, we were very proficient with EOS and ClickUp. So things are being done on time, and everything have a better foundation to kind of work among each other, and the team culture really, really changed as well. Because I have to learn how to be a great leader. That I did not learn that. I had to learn that, right? So it was a lot of my self-learning, exploring, right? Allow myself to fail, evolve, read books, trying to figure out how I can be an effective leader, right? Because owning a salon does not translate to owning an agency business, not at all. That is, there's nothing I can take from running the salon that I can carry over, right? Absolutely different industry and a different set of talent that we work with. So like in the team, we got really, really tight. The training got really good. Meetings are more productive. And the team morale is up after that.
I love it. So what do you think allowed you to go to 260 from 100? Is it the pivoting of the target of the audience? Like, I mean, did that basically change all aspects of the business where you can scale comfortably? Like, you know, what got you to the 260 range?
I think what got me to the 260 range was really dial in the core offer, right? And I think like a lot of us, including myself, when I take courses online, I put it on 2x and I just went zoop through it, right? Like, I got it. Wrong. So don't do that. I can't remember how many times I'm, you know, it's 8, 9 o'clock at night and I'm just trying to figure out how can I fix my offer, because it was churning and it was not, my ad cost went up. It was all these key metrics is like giving me red flags of the offer is not it. And I had to go back multiple times to really dial that in and test it again and again and again. But it took me months to really come back to the basic and dial in the target audience and simplify the offer. So our, I would say, recent offer is just selling high-level snapshot. We're no longer doing marketing stuff. That's extra. But we're just selling high-level snapshot right now. The basic snapshot, the three tier that you guys have, we just sell that.
That's it. So you've learned to simplify yourself in quite the ways.
Because I think like as an entrepreneur, as we grow, we want to have our unique selling proposition, right? Our USP. We keep adding more stuff. We should all add this, add that, keep adding Facebook ad, add Google ad. Oh, website. Let's do website. Oh, let's do SEO. Let's do social media, right? Let's do local SEO, right? And what it does is that it complicates the training in the back end, and it complicates the onboarding. It kind of made it really difficult to do ongoing support. People just lost. My team were lost.
You're customizing on top of the offer you have while having to maintain on a talent-based currency.
Yes. And like by doing, if we had to do all of that marketing system correctly to a T, I cannot charge $500 a month. That's crazy. I cannot make money charging $500 a month, right? So we increase the price. We're like, you know what? Let's charge $1,000. So we charge $1,000 a month. We got about 6% conversion to $1,000 package per month, and then that quickly churned in like 2 months, so, because we didn't know what we were doing. And then we started to trimming the offer, just take one thing out. And at the end of the, I will say the year, I looked at the offer. It just said, wait a minute, this is a high level snapshot. Like, what? You know, after all these trials and error and versions, I don't know. I think you or somebody that keep telling us, like, guys, just keep it simple. Just sell the snapshots, sell the features. You know, like just do that. You know, don't complicate things. Don't like, and more does not equal more, right?
It does
so,
not.
So it was my personal journey and learning through my own failures and keep coming back to the basic. And it's just funny now, you know, 3 years in, and I thought, this is interesting. This is very funny. Like, why didn't I do this at the beginning? And who knows what, you know, where we could be now, right? But we just, anyway, well, I'm glad that I came to get a conclusion of simple scales.
I love that. And I know, I mean, I talk about this in our challenges. We have our 5-day challenge. We have our 3-day workshops. We have masterminds, trainings. I mean, we talk about, like, myself, Chase, our founders, we all talk about how to look at software, you know, a certain way from the blood, sweat, and tears that we've been through. And I think it still doesn't resonate with people unless they go through that journey. And once you go through that journey, like, I personally think a SaaS agency is the ultimate form of personal development in entrepreneurship today. You couldn't convince me otherwise. It's the most gut-wrenching, most stressful, at the same time, the most rewarding, filled with ups and downs. It's the biggest roller coaster ride that I think anybody would go through from the standpoint of personal development. So I think, all to say that once you go through that journey, now you really know how to build the business the right way. And now you can acquire SaaS companies, that you can acquire other businesses. You can, I mean, there's not a lane that you cannot touch at this point based on the experiences you went through. So the three things we talked about, Daniel, is one, redesigning the offer multiple times. We talked about, secondly, as the pillar, onboarding and ongoing support that you had to essentially build out from scratch. The third thing we talked about, the sales and prospecting change of what you did to go from 100 to 260. Now, what's next? Like, what, you know, what are you working on right now? What is your journey to 500 or even 1,000 clients? And what does your game plan look like for those that are a bit more advanced?
So I can share with you a little secret that I did not tell anybody. I actually exited that company.
Which one?
That 260.
Oh, wow.
The one that got to 260. I exited about 6 months ago.
Congrats. That's insane. Big secret.
Yeah, I didn't. I think, I can't say much about it, but I did exit it about 6 months ago. And while I didn't have anything to do for 6 months, I took what we just discussed And I thought to myself, if I can start a new SaaS agency, that's what we do. We just start a new one. If I can start a new SaaS agency that I can't compete in the same industry because there's non-compete
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah,
right. So I can't compete in that section because they're using my ad and they're using all the stuff, my all the videos that I had to do in a different industry. And just doing the basic stuff, like nearly pure SaaS, no service, right? What would it be if we can build a machine like that, that is absolutely scalable as fast as we can with system? So that's the future. So this year, I actually got my team together. I got 20 people hired for this project. Now with a little bit of funding, I can do more things. I can hire more talents, people with 10 years experience working with us. Before, I had people with no experience, with no education. So it was difficult to train them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have money. So we actually hire 5 to 10, even 15 years experience in the industry in management roles to help me build a company the right way, right?
Wow.
So the next future, I would say the next 5 years is to exit in 5 years again, 5 to 7 years.
But this time you have a bigger appetite, right? Now you have, a new gameplay, a new playbook, and it's a different experience altogether.
Yeah. So the goal now, the whole new, from starting January 2024, next 5 years, is to build a SaaS company and scale it to 60,000 customer and exit.
Wow.
That's the roadmap. Yeah.
That's going to be, and you're going to build it on top of High Level?
Hopefully, we'll see.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah,
in the olden days, people go to NASDAQ with something they build on top of Salesforce, right? So we hope those types of things happen inside High Level as well. But if not, no worries. Tell us what we need to build out and we'll go develop that out as usual.
There's nothing else that High Level can add that I'm going to use. I'm just using the basic member. I'm just no bells, no whistles. It's just the core SaaS configurator thing.
Love it.
And we're just keeping it simple, right? I think right now we haven't crossed 1,000 customer yet. I don't know what it's like. I think I can give a better answer when I cross 1,000 customer and go into like 2,000 and 3,000 customer. And then we can discuss. And then we go past 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 customer. We'll see how it goes. But I think if Thrive can build on top of Vizita or something, a few hundred thousand customer, I don't think, why not, right?
It's going to be really exciting to have those conversation where you're going blow it past, 1,000 clients and 10,000 clients, because the acquisition process, the onboarding stuff, the sales side and the marketing side. And then on top of that, the culture stuff. So then the only thing left is the leadership skills of uncharted territories and how you react and what you do when you get to those areas of business that you haven't seen before, right? But that's just the game. That's just the world of business in general. So I'm really excited for you. Daniel, any final words of things that you've learned to, 260 and exited, which is incredible?
I think the one last kind of word I want to share with the fellow entrepreneurs who are in this journey, just like me, is don't rush. I think when we're rushing through things, trying to scale, okay? Because we see other people are doing it and we're trying to compare ourselves to them. Don't do that. I'm a victim, right? I try to scale, more ad, right? don't do that. Because I made that mistake when I'm thinking short term. I'm thinking 12 months ahead of time. Now, after I exited and then I met a new partner, he has 7,000 clients, locations. I'm working with him right now to kind of combine the two. He gave me a new horizon, right? He's probably the most richest person that I know personally, that I can call a friend, a mentor. net worth over 100 million. And he shared a lot of, he's also in SaaS. He shared a lot of things with me. He said, the one thing is you're so short-sighted that you just want a shortcut to get to your goals like next month, you know? And he told me, like, just take it easy. Think about this as a 10-year journey. And in 10 years, you can only make 10 changes. And that's it. You're not allowed to make more than 10 changes, right? If you can only make 10 changes, wouldn't you take more time to think about it? Yes. Wouldn't you do more research? Yes. Wouldn't you give yourself more room before you execute that change and not pivoting like crazy, running around and causing chaos within the company? He said, yeah, that's true. And he says, just take it easy. It's going to be 5 to 10 years, right? Be patient, my friend. Patience is your best friend. Just learn how to patience. Be patient. Don't rush into things. Take it easy. It's not a short 12 months runway. It's going to be a 10 years runway.
Wow. What an incredible session we had. I cannot wait to reconnect with you over the next couple of years and see the journey and the progress you're making. I feel like I met you in chapter one and I just witnessed like chapter 10 on your way to chapter 100. Like it's so cool to see the evolving and the thought process you're having and the leadership you're having. So I appreciate you jumping in on a quick, podcast session here at High Level. Just real quick, if anybody wants to reach out to you, what are your social channels or pages or something that people can reach out to? I know you don't want any more inbound messages, but just in case people want to reach out and network with you, how can they find you?
Facebook High Level group. Just search for Daniel Q Nguyen. You see on my post there, you can add me as a friend. Shoot me any message you guys have. I would be more than happy to, to kind of give you more insight and share my journey with you to be awesome. So you can be more successful.
Awesome, Daniel. Well, I'm so proud of your accomplishments and thank you for sharing your journey. And we look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, bye.